This week in agriculture, production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look at markets, I'm Randy Conan. USDA released its quarterly stocks and the planting intentions report Thursday this week, with the market closed on Good Friday. Big surprise in the flurry of USDA numbers was corn acreage. USDA forecast corn acreage just over 90 million acres, down 4.6 million from last year, 1.7 million acres below the average trade guess. Soybean planting estimated at 86.5 million acres, right in line with trade expectations. Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzlow thinks economics probably played a role in those corn acres.
The farmer is really pulling in his horns at this point, and I think that's what I heard on my phones when I did my survey with my clients. The Central Corn Belt going after more corn acres, but that is compensated by the Eastern and Western Corn Belt producers who aren't irrigated to really look at more beans because of the cost of production and the base price for crop insurance. And I think that showed up in the USDA numbers by keeping the corn acres low at 90 million, but also not pushing those soybean acres up to 87.5, coming in at 86.5.
USDA says corn stocks in all positions as of March 1st, totaling 8.35 billion bushels, up 13% from a year ago, slightly less than the 8.42 billion bushel pre-report trade guess. Soybeans stored in all positions, 1.85 billion bushels, 9% more than last year, right at the pre-report trade estimate. All wheat stored in all positions, totaling 1.09 billion bushels, up 16% from a year ago. AgriSampo North America market analyst Sterling Smith says the market did get a slight boost from those quarterly stocks numbers.
A little bit of help from the USDA again. Corn stocks at 8.347 was a little bit lower than expectations, but the beans were a little bit higher.
RCM Director of Risk Management Steve Wagner wants to know where those acres went.
Last year we had 253.8 million acres of total crop, and this year it's 248.9. Where did those acres go? Are they going to hay? Are they just going to be fallow?
In the report, as expected, dry edible beans acres will be up this year. Growers intend to plant 1.3 million acres nationwide, up 14% from a year ago. North Dakota farmers intend to plant 17% more dry beans. Minnesota's dry bean acreage forecast to be up 14%. Sunflower acreage nationwide expected to be the lowest level in 48 years. North Dakota farmers intend to plant 440,000 acres, down 23% from last year. That represents the third lowest planted area for North Dakota sunflowers in a half a century. Sunflower acreage forecast to decline 29% in South Dakota, down 37% in Minnesota. Durum acres expected to increase 21% nationwide, up 22% in North Dakota. Barley acres going the other direction, down 17% from last year. Barley acreage forecast to decline 32% in North Dakota. Montana, the largest barley state, expect to see acreage fall 20%. And canola acreage forecast to be record high, 2.37 million acres. North Dakota, the leading canola-producing state, but intentions there down 7%. That would still be North Dakota's second highest planted area on record. In Minnesota, canola acres forecast to be up 20%. That's a look at markets this week in agriculture. I'm Randy Conan.
Are you concerned with the amount of interest you're paying on your operating loan? Do you have grain in the elevator? We believe that recent improvements in basis provide an opportunity to generate cash flow. Let Van Onen Company help you create a plan for not only those bushels, but also for the crop years ahead. Van Onen Company can help you navigate the unknowns of grain and livestock marketing. Call us today at 1-800-648-5494. 1-800-648-5494.
Like that morning cup of coffee, the Red River Farm Network is the best way to start your day.
Good morning, farm news time on the Red River Farm Network.
You'll get the latest market trends.
Looking at a grain market, we finally saw corn kind of trade its own fundamentals here.
Weather with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Cooler temperatures will be occurring in the northern plains and upper Midwest.
And today's top stories impacting your farm and your bottom line. We're the Red River Farm Network, and we're reporting agriculture's business.
With a look at news this week in agriculture, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network. The Midwest Council on Agriculture visited Washington, D.C. last week. Council member and North Dakota Grain Growers Association Executive Director Kayla Pulvermacher says that though the farm bill dominated discussions, don't expect a new one anytime soon.
Anyone that would like to put money on that right now would be risking the farm at this point. Discussions with the Senate tend to be a little bit less enthusiastic, while with the House, they're really interested in getting one done. I think now getting closer to the election, seeing one beforehand is pretty iffy. But after the election, I think looking into 2025, we're a lot more realistic in terms of getting a farm bill.
Pulvermacher says this being an election year doesn't help with getting a farm bill done. Highly pathogenic avian influenza was confirmed in a Minnesota goat last week. The disease has now been identified in 3 Texas and 1 Kansas dairy herd. Another herd in New Mexico is under investigation. USDA emphasizes that there is no threat to human health and all milk and dairy products remain safe. Veterinarians report that most affected cows recover within 2 to 3 weeks. Terrorist attacks in Russia are important to keep an eye on, according to Cognitive Investments Director of Geopolitical Analyst Jacob Shapiro, although the war with Ukraine is still the biggest headline to keep an eye on.
It may show us that there's an underlying brittleness inside of Russia itself brewing, but that being said, I thought that with the Prigozhin incident of last year, too, and Putin was able to put things back together. So I'm not willing to say that anything that big changed as a result of the terrorist attack, but certainly it's something that we should watch for going forward. I think the bigger thing happening with Russia is in the context of the war with Ukraine. Ukraine has been successfully bombing Russian oil refining facilities with drones. It's even been hitting some Russian ships in the Black Sea. On the flip side, Russia has, I won't say turned the tide in eastern Ukraine, but it's begun to take some territory back from Ukraine in the context of its failed counteroffensive of last summer.
Europe's involvement in the conflict will be a key moving forward. The world's largest meat packer is reporting fourth quarter profits of $16.7 million. That's a 96% decline from a year ago for JBS. An oversupply of chicken and pork plus higher grain prices are having an impact. According to a coalition of meat and poultry industries, EPA's proposed wastewater guidelines will cost over $1 billion in the loss of thousands of jobs. The Meat and Poultry Products Industry Coalition said EPA has grossly underestimated the impact on the industry. This coalition includes Farm Bureau, the Meat Institute, and representatives of the pork, chicken, and turkey industries. Iowa Soybean Association Demand and Advocacy Chief Officer Matt Herman served as a keynote speaker at the NDSU Soybean Symposium. He said the Environmental Protection Agency's multi-year renewable fuels standards is having an impact on the renewable diesel market.
From about 2012 to 2022, EPA set volumes, mandated volumes for these biofuels on an annual basis. That was kind of a pain for the industry because it didn't provide us much long-term certainty to do investment. So when we found out in 2022 that they were going to issue us our first 3-year multi-year rule, we're like, great, this is going to give us certainty to build this market out. While they were working on that rule, COVID hit, and a number of these refiners, oil refiners, decided that with flagging gasoline demand and just changing global consumption of petroleum, they were going to take the opportunity to convert these refineries to renewable diesel. But that was going to require us to crush a whole lot more beans to make that oil available for these facilities.
This has been a look at news this week in agriculture. I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
The Minnesota Corn Growers Association has worked tirelessly in the interests of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, they're at the table when you can't be. But like you, they can't do it alone. Their strength is in their members. The strength is in you. Join Minnesota Corn as it continues to advocate for the American corn farmer. Visit mncorn.org and become a member today. That's mncorn.org.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate.
With a look at weather this week in agriculture, I'm Tyler Donaldson. Frequent rains fell across central Brazil this week, improving soil moisture for the safrinha corn crop. World Weather Incorporated says the rains will diminish later this weekend through April 8th. But regular rounds of rain should be preventing the region from rapidly drying out. But World Weather says more rains will be needed to support the safrinha crop during the coming dry season. The European Green Deal has been put on an indefinite hold following relentless farmer protests across the European Union. According to an Associated Press article, this bill would have aimed for the EU to be the first climate-neutral continent by 2050. Concessions have been made on some agriculture issues already, and majority vote had been expected. Hungary changed its vote to prevent passage. The storm system that passed through most of Middle America this week ended up dropping as much as 12 to 15 inches in parts of the Midwest, including 12 inches in South Dakota and up to 8 inches in western North Dakota, and more than 10 from central through northeastern Minnesota. 8 to 12 inches of snow fell from Minneapolis into the north half of Wisconsin. Northeastern North Dakota and northern Minnesota reported little to no precipitation from the storm. University of Minnesota Regional Extension educator Anthony Hansen says warm winter temps could mean greater soybean aphid pressure this growing season due to a lack of winter kill, and that scouting will be especially important.
One of the key insects that I look at a lot is soybean aphid, and this is one we can't do too much from a preventative perspective. There are seed treatments available for certain uses if you have very late planted soybeans, but it generally won't do farmers any good, or they won't get a return on investment by using seed treatments, because usually the soybean aphids will still show up well after those seed treatments wear off.
Hansen says that corn rootworm could also be an issue, and that seed selection is key to controlling it. And despite the snowfall over the past week or so, there are still a lot of bare fields in the region. Pioneer District sales lead Jesse Mock says the combination of strong winds and warmer weather in the forecast will allow farmers to begin field activity soon.
You know, we're really looking probably 2 weeks out from guys really starting to just start getting in the field. We've seen our frost is a long ways out. There's a little bit left, but not too much. You know, as far as planting goes, I wouldn't be shocked, you know, to see some corn and or beans, you know, going in, you know, April 20th to the 25th, if the conditions allow that.
And with the USDA's release of their planting intentions report this week, the big surprise was with acreage, specifically corn. USDA's forecasting corn at just over 90 million acres, which is down 4.6 million from last year and is 1.7 million acres below the average trade guess. Soybean plantings are estimated at 86.5 million acres, which was in line with trade expectations. And weather is exactly what USDA chief economist Seth Meyer calls the big wild card with acreage guesses for this year.
Weather always has the last say, right? When we think about a lot of things which shift principal crop acres actually planted, not intention, but actually planted, it's often things like weather and prevent plant from a year to year that is one of the big drivers.
And a mild winter may have an impact on soybean disease this spring. NDSU Extension soybean pathologist Wade Webster says fungal pressures may be higher.
With the warm or mild winter that we did have primarily, my concern is that there are going to be some other diseases across the board, across all different crops. And so in soybean in particular, frog eye, incidentally, is one of these diseases that may benefit from such a mild winter, and that there's not killed off in the residue from previous soybean crop.
That was a look at weather this week in agriculture. I'm Tyler Donaldson.
At Common Ground North Dakota, you'll find farmers from diverse backgrounds sharing an authentic conversation about the food we grow and the way we farm. We're here to bridge the gap between farmers and consumers, promoting understanding and an appreciation for our agricultural industry. Join us online for our podcast and blog at commongroundnorthdakota.com. That's commongroundnorthdakota.com. Common Ground is sponsored by the North Dakota Corn Council.
These markets have been crazy. Limit higher one day, limit down another.
With these volatile markets, you need to stay on top of the gyrations found in the trade.
At the Red River Farm Network, we deliver market information, but it's more than just the numbers. We talk to traders, market analysts, weather forecasters, economists, the people in the know.
The Red River Farm Network outlines why the market is doing what it's doing.
When it's important to your bottom line, you'll hear it first on the Red River Farm Network.